Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we know that you alone are God. Lord, you are worthy of our worship, of our service, our praise, our lives, O God. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we open your word tonight, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, your word is alive. It's quick and it's powerful. Lord, I pray that your word would touch us, Lord, and not only touch us, but change us, Lord, into your likeness. Lord, help us to see our need of thee, Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would hide me behind your cross this evening and give me the power, Lord, ability, Lord, to speak forth your word, Lord, in a way which would please and honor you. And God, I pray and ask that we would all, Lord, leave this place drawn closer to our Savior. Lord, I pray that we would be transparent with you this night, Lord, and see that in our weakness, Lord God, we need a great God. And Lord, we thank you that you are there, Lord, waiting with open arms, Lord, to work with us, Lord, to help us to change, Lord God, to use us for your glory. Pray that souls would surrender, lives would be changed, and that Christ Jesus would be glorified. Lord, he is the worthy Lamb. I pray it in his precious name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm chapter 62, verses 5 to 8. We live in a generation, and I'm sure that you would agree with me on this one. Wouldn't have to convince you much, but where waiting is considered to be wrong and impatience is commended and pursued. And you say, what do I mean? Well, we have fast food, fast cars, fast cash, and it's fast, fast, fast. And you see that everywhere. The whole purpose of advertisement, one of the main pushes is speed, fast. You can have it tomorrow, you can have it tonight. Book now, fast. And the whole concept and the whole system of the world which we live in draws us away from the concept of patience, of waiting, and it's all to get what we want now. It's all to do with we don't wait, waiting is wrong. For an example, if you go to a restaurant and you wait too long for your food, that is called bad service. And I would agree with you on that one, but but it's just the way our society has formed it. Okay, this is the way that the day that we live in, and it's really just appeals to our flesh, to be honest. But we want quick preaching, quick praying, quick results, and we're not prepared to wait upon God. Not prepared to wait upon the Lord. And it's an amazing thing, because even though our society has changed, I'm reminded of the verse in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where the Lord said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So our society changes, our situation changes, but God does not change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is immutable, meaning he changes not. And although that our world changes, God does not change. And although we are pushed with the wind of the time and the changes that we see in our day pulling us away from what God wants us to be, God stands firm like that solid rock upon which we should be standing and not be carried away with the wind of time. And here the psalmist, David, pours out his heart before the Lord, and in all honesty, he talks to his soul. And he says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." He reflects upon the precious truth, the precious truth forgotten in our day of waiting upon God. And I want to bring before you the word of God tonight, this truth, waiting upon God. I want us to receive the importance of waiting upon God and how God is the object, the one upon whom we wait, that he will give us grace to wait, and that he is worthy of waiting upon him. Firstly, we see he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. And that is verse number 5, the first part of that. God is the object upon whom we should wait. He is the one upon whom we wait. My soul, wait thou only upon God. It is upon God in whom we wait. We wait on God. We should be anyway. What does it mean to wait? All right, let's get really simple here. Well, it means to stop, okay, to stop. But it also means to rest, and it also means to trust. And there's something very significant about the meaning of the word wait. It's not just a literal, I'm just going to stop. No, it's more than that. When I wait upon God, I am doing more than just stopping. I am stopping, but I am stopping and trusting. I am stopping and expecting. I am stopping and I'm committing the whole situation into the hands of the living God. Amen. Wait. Stop. Cease from this impatient spirit. Cease from this agitation of the soul. I must wait. I must stop. And I must commit. Whatever's happening in my life, whatever situation I'm faced with, whatever problem it is in my life, I must commit it to the Lord. My soul, wait thou only upon God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It is upon God, because God is the one who cares for us. Amen. We are commanded to cast our care upon him. It is not an option. If you choose not to do it, you'll suffer the consequences of it. And the burdens of life and the stresses of many is from the simple verse not being obeyed, where I need to cast my care upon him. And I don't seem to say it as if it's very easy. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Satan is doing everything in his power in getting this world and everything around us to stop us from waiting upon God. That's what he's doing. From stop us from casting our care upon him. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's a spiritual battle. The battle's in the mind. The battle is a battle which has been won. Amen. When we look to the future, we are on the winning side. Amen. Victory is ours in Christ Jesus. We must believe that. We must know that. But we need to walk in that. You see, it's there. We see it with the eyes of faith, that we see the future victory has already been won. But we must walk in it. And this is where it is hard. This is where it gets tough. This is where the battle is at. And this is where we are now. This is the years that we spent here on earth. This is where the battle is raging. And as soldiers of the cross, we must wait upon our God, because our victory is sure. Because it's not in us, it's in him. So we wait upon God. We wait upon him. We wait upon God. Waiting has that idea of trusting, and it's linked with faith. And it reminds me of that passage that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Meaning that when I trust in God, I put my faith in God, that includes waiting upon him, and that's how he is pleased. We're not pleased with waiting because we want things now, but it pleases God when we wait upon him. We must wait upon him and not upon anyone else. And that is very clearly spelled out in the next part of that phrase of Psalm 62 verse 5. Look at it there. My soul, wait thou, look at that word, only upon God. Only upon God. My soul, wait thou only upon God. It was C.H. Spurgeon who said, they trust not God at all who trust him not alone. He that stands with one foot on a rock and another foot upon a quicksand will sink and perish as certainly as he that standeth with both feet upon quicksand. They trust God, not God at all, who trust him not alone. Very important statement. We need to understand that trust in God needs to be, it's full trust. It's full trust in him. It has to be fully trust in him, or you will not receive the grace of God. You will not see the benefits of complete surrender, complete trust to the Lord. And I'm so convinced that many of God's people, and maybe it's you, same situation tonight, where we're willing to give God some things, but not all things. We're willing to give God part of the situation, but not all of the situation. We're willing to say, God, look, if you do this for me, if I do this, you do this, and if we'll do all that, but it's not, Lord, this is yours, I can't take it anymore, I need your help. It's not a total surrender, it's not a full laying of a sacrifice upon the altar. It's, he's half my life, and I'll keep the other half. He's half the situation, Lord. Now, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, all of it, all of it. Scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Don't be anxious about these things, but casting your full care upon him, for he careth for you. So it must be only upon God. We trust upon God, but we trust only upon him. We rest only in him. We trust not in princes and kings. We trust not in government. We trust not in friends. We trust not in plans. We trust not in ideas. We trust not in philosophies. We trust not in programs, because all these things at some stage will fail us. Yes, you may trust your friend, and your friend might be faithful to you, but one day he will fail you. You may trust in the government, and the government might do some good things, and he does do good things. Praise God for a good government. But one day the government will fail us. We must trust. We will trust in all these things, in our family, in our friends, and all these things. And it's good to have a measure of trust. But if that's whom you're only trusting in, remember, you will fail. That's why he says, trust thou only upon God. When the situations of life are you're confronted with, give it all to God. Amen. That's it. Just to him. Only. It's exclusive. You see, the Word of God teaches about Jesus Christ that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's exclusive. Jesus Christ only, the only Savior, the only one who can deliver you from sin, the only one who can give you eternal life, the only one who ever died for you. Jesus Christ, it's exclusive. And so this, my soul wait or rest or trust thou only upon God. If you're trusting in anything else, even in yourself, you'll be disappointed, brokenhearted,
yes, sir.
And you'll be out of the picture very soon. Why? Because we fail ourselves. People fail us. Flesh and blood cannot be trusted. We must trust God alone. Trust God alone. He deserves it all. There's a hymn that is called Like a River Glorious. Yes. Is God's perfect peace over us victorious? I want to read this, the third verse, a part of it, which really was a blessing to me. One day I was asked to preach a message, and I hit the point where I was really just too nervous. I just didn't know what to do. And this was the song right before the message. And the third verse it said, we may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him fully find him wholly true. Listen, when we trust God fully, he will never fail us. Because the promise in his word is that if I wait upon him, if I trust upon him, he will deliver me, he will help me, he will strengthen me. And this is the promise of scripture. People try Christianity, and you know what? It doesn't work for them because they don't try it wholeheartedly. They don't give their whole heart to God. They're not doing, they're just trusting in parts. No, but God and the scriptures never fail but to call us to a full surrender in him. Never give us a partial thing. You cannot serve God and mammon. What does that mean? Choose one. Not half. No half business with God. Right. See, God is a jealous God, the Bible teaches. And you say, well, jealousy is a sin. No, listen, God is a jealous God. You know what that means?
Yep.
God wants you for himself.
Right.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities of earth. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Amen.
We were created by him and for him, as we saw this morning, and God won't fail you when you fully trust him. Because he is God alone, and he alone is to be trusted. Look at Psalm chapter 73, please. Verse number 25. This is a psalm of Asaph, another writer of the Psalms. And he says this in Psalm chapter 73, verse number 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? He's talking to God here. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. What a heart for God. Who do I have but thee, O God? I have nobody else. And you know what we need to see? We have friends, we have family, we have life, but listen, we need to just see God alone. You see, we need to stop looking at everything around us and what we have and the people we have and all these things. We need to look at God alone. Who have I in heaven but thee? You know why? Because we're in a hard time. We're in a tricky situation. You're not going to see anybody else but God if you keep your eyes on Him. Nobody else can help you as God can help you. Amen. Listen, we try and give people help, but you know, the only help we can give them is if we point them to God. Because He alone is to be waited upon. He alone is to be trusted. He's the one in whom we should rest. And this is what the scripture is teaching here. And David stops and he talks to his soul and he says, my soul. He's talking to himself. He says, my soul, listen, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Because the temptation is to wait upon ourselves, to wait upon our circumstances, to wait and trust upon our situations, to wait and trust in everything else but God. And he had to talk to his soul. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to just stop. It's all right, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. Amen. All right, we do it. We need to do it. If you don't do it, maybe I am crazy. Anyway, you need to stop, you need to talk to yourself, and you need to say, my soul, wait thou upon God. Why? Because, you know, the Christian life is a life where there is the flesh and the spirit. Okay, there is a battle raging within every child of God. And don't think that if you're in the battle, you're the only one in there, okay? We all come to church looking really good, but really we're in a battle, okay? Listen, you know, inside the battle's raging, okay? The preacher battles, you battle, that's great. Praise God, we're in the same battle. But the battle's raging inside, the flesh and the spirit. And sometimes we just need to talk to ourselves and say, no, that's wrong. No, I shouldn't be thinking about that. No, no, casting down imaginations. No, that's not of God. No, no, I need to think on these things. My soul, stop that. That's not right. We need to talk and we need to say, God, help me. Help me, Lord. My soul needs to wait upon thee. And David was talking to his soul and said, look, I'm tempted to wait upon other things. I'm tempted to wait upon my own strength and to rest in my own strength and to trust in my own power. Hey, David, listen, David could have killed Saul. Yes. Let's make that very clear here. David had a perfect opportunity where Saul was sleeping in the cave. David could have killed him and put his sorrows to bed. Gone. Could have just killed Saul. See you later. No more problems. Saul was his only problem, real problem that he had a problem with. But no, he said, my soul is not resting upon me. My soul, no, no, wait thou only upon God. We need to really get a hold of our mind and say, no, no, I need to be resting in God, waiting upon God, trusting Him alone, because I am commanded to do that. Because He is worthy. He is the one who is able. He is the one who demands of our trust. He wants our trust. He created us for Himself. So how's your soul? Is it waiting on God? Is it resting? Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. You know, we need to rest in God. You see, our God, when we're going to get a hold of who our God is, you will find rest in your soul. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Rest is in God. It's in Christ. And we need to see the importance of that and come to that place in our lives. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but you know, and examine yourselves, please, honestly before God. Am I resting in who God is? Am I waiting upon Him, whatever situation I'm faced with tonight? Am I waiting upon God? Let's look at the end part of verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. My expectation is from Him. Now, my expectation is my hope. Okay, my expectation is my hope. When you expect something, you're hoping for something. You see, it's got a future type of situation. It brings you to a place of where you're trusting and you're hoping in. My expectation is from Him. That word from is very important. That tells us where our expectation comes from. You see, our expectation comes from God. You say, what does that mean? Well, it's simple. Our hope comes from God, but it's also in God. See, we need to, our hope comes from God. Well, it doesn't come from your flesh. That's the point. You see? Your flesh has not the capability to fully trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to help you through a situation. It will fail you. Really, it will fail you. We need the help of God. Yes, we need to do that, and God will help us. You need to put your foot in the Jordan, so to speak, and God will part the waters. We need to take that step of faith and trust in Him, and He will give us that grace to trust Him fully. So my point is that the one who gives grace, the one who gives grace, it tells us to wait. He gives us the grace to wait. Our God gives us the grace to wait. And that's an important thing to understand, because if you think that you can do it in your own strength, forget it. You'll fail. We need to come to God alone. Come to God alone, trust in Him alone, ask Him to help us to trust in Him alone. We need to understand that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God, if you're a child of God who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and been born again by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. And He enables you and helps you to fulfill the good pleasure of God. God works in you via the Holy Spirit to bring glory and honor to His name. And by faith, we bring glory and honor to His name. So He'll give you the grace to trust Him more. He'll give you the grace to wait upon Him. But we need to look to Him. We need to trust in Him to give us the grace to trust in Him and wait upon Him. Amen. You see, we need to understand that we in ourselves are really nothing, really.
Right.
Let's be honest. We are nothing in ourselves. Without God, we are nothing. And the only way that we can have victory, the only way in that we can trust in God and wait upon God, is when we reach the place of rock bottom. And we say, no, it is not me anymore, Lord. I can't do it anymore. I can't live with this problem. I can't handle this situation. I can't deal with this issue. Lord, my plans are being messed up. My future's being all dissembled before my very eyes. Lord, this person that I thought I would marry has somehow just messed up everything, and my whole life is in a shambles. Lord, I can't do anything anymore. I'll come flat on my face before You, and I need You, Lord. I need You. I need Your grace. I need Your strength. I need You to help me to trust You. I need You to help me to wait upon You. Even getting to that point of just rock bottom, where our hearts are fully surrendered to God, where our hearts are fully yielded to Him, and God will give us the grace to wait upon Him. He'll give us the grace to rest in Him. He'll give us the grace to have that expectation, that hope in Him. And that's what we must do. We must see that it comes from Him. So we must ask Him for that. We need to get to the point, as the Apostle Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In Romans chapter 6, verse and chapter 7 and chapter 8 show that battle within. And chapter 6, Paul talks about the victory, the potential victory that we can have in Jesus Christ, that sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. He talks about neither yield yourselves as instruments unto unrighteousness, don't yield your bodies to unrighteousness, but to righteousness. He says you can do that. Reckon yourselves indeed dead unto sin. It means count it true, write it down, make a note of it that you're dead to sin. That's what he's saying. But then chapter 7, we see the battle. He says, I want to do something, but that's good, but I can't do it. And then I don't want to do this bad thing, and I can't do it. And at the end of chapter 7, he gets to the point and he says, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he sees and he gets to that point of rock bottom where he says, no, I cannot. I cannot any longer. And like the Apostle Peter did when he wept bitterly after denying the Lord Jesus, he hit rock bottom. He said, I can't anymore. I can't even not deny my Savior. What's wrong with me? The one who did miracles before me, the one who loved me, the one who's giving himself for me, I denied him. And he hit rock bottom, but then what happened? He saw victory. Because on the day of Pentecost, the power of God descended and 3,000 souls were saved when he got up and preached the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, when the Apostle Paul then goes into chapter 8 of Romans and he says, now there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of the law in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Hey, he thanks God for the victory. And he walks in the victory.
Amen.
And he sees the victory over sin. And he sees the victory over the struggles of trusting in God and all these things. But what did he have to get to before he saw that? Rock bottom.
Right.
A wretched man that I am. And listen, we have a Christianity which is in Romans chapter 7. I'm telling you now. Most Christians are stuck in chapter 7. They don't read their Bible through the year. Stuck in chapter 7. It's the battle within. You can't see victory. You can't. I try and I can't. You know why you can't get to rock bottom? Get to rock bottom. Let God take you to rock bottom. Say, I can't anymore, Lord. I'm a wretched man. I try and I cannot. You know what sin you're dealing with, but get to rock bottom. And come before the throne of grace and cry out to God. Pour out your heart before the Lord and say, I'm wretched. I'm wretched. I cannot, Lord. I need you. I need your grace to trust you. I need your grace to wait upon you. And then he will give you the hope to trust in the living God who liveth and abideth forever, and will give you the grace to trust him and to wait upon him and to rest in him. So our expectation is from him, but it's also in him. It was William Carey who said these words. He said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. You know what happened to William Carey? By his death, 24 gospel churches were planted, 40 fellow workers engaged in Indian missions, and many souls were saved and baptized under his ministry. What happened? His expectation was not only from God, but it was in God. He said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. We need to get back to serious praying. Amen. Praying that pleads with God, praying that truly destroys the works of the devil, praying that really comes before the throne of grace, really tearing down the strongholds in our lives. Now, I believe we don't see victory because we are not dying to ourselves in the place of prayer. Listen, unbelief is what is killing our nation and our generation today. Unbelief. True. And we live by sight and we don't walk by faith, but it's meant to be the other way around. Right. The Bible says, as ye have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? By faith. Did you see him? No. You believed him. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk the same way you did it. You trusted in him. Not half trusting. Not 50%, not 20%, not 10%, not 90%. It was a full trust. Amen. If you didn't have a full trust, you got a half salvation. We didn't get a salvation. Right. You fully trusted. When you sat down on that seat before, after the other hymn who were standing, you fully trusted that chair. Fully. All of you, and you're still trusting it now. Praise God. You see, fully trusting in God, it's a full surrender, laying of my life and myself into his precious hands. And that's what we need. And we need to pray in that way. And when we pray that way, we need to pray with a fervency of dependence upon God. And not only that, with an expectation of his answer. Much of our prayer is just literally, God, please do this and help with that. And we walk out of the place of prayer and we forget about those things. There's no expectation. There's no hoping in God to answer that prayer. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need to pray in faith. Look at Mark chapter 11, please, verse 22 to 24. And also turn to James 5, 13 to 18. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And then James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. I want to look at two passages which deal with this kind of praying, which will help us have the grace of God to wait upon him and to trust in him. Mark 11 and James chapter 5. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24 reads this. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now this passage of scripture has been distorted in many ways, we know that, especially by the Pentecostal movement, and they literally try and rebuke the wind and do all these kind of things. But we just don't need to lose sight of the blessing of this passage. It's just truly saying you pray with all your heart believing that God can. That God can answer and will answer your prayer. It's just saying, don't pray half-heartedly. It's saying, have faith in God when you pray. Wait thou only upon God, for your expectation is from him, but also should be in him. Look at James chapter 5, please. James chapter 5. Look at verses 13, please, to 18. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now this is an example. Ready? Look at verse 17 and 18. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not upon the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What it's saying here is this: the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. First thing, are you living a righteous life? Godly, pure, holy life. Then you need to pray with effectual fervency. That literally means you need to be mighty in prayer. That's what it means. The actual Greek word is energeo, energy. Pray in a way where you are mighty in prayer. You're pleading with God. You're asking God, please, Lord. There's a soul that needs to be saved here tonight. Lord, there's a soul that needs to be born again. Lord, please, Lord, the crows, they're dealing with a situation. Lord, please, Lord. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to be mighty in prayer. We need to be mighty in prayer that God will help us to hope in him, to overcome our problems, to have faith in him. We need to be mighty in prayer. And then when we expect great things from God, by prayer, we're bringing it before him. By prayer, we're waiting upon him. When we get out of the place of prayer, effectually and fervently praying, mighty in prayer, we will have an expectation that God will answer prayer. And God will be pleased with that. God will be pleased with that. So in these apostate days where the church of Christ is sleeping and it's lukewarm, we need a generation of people that will pray, expecting great things from God. We'll pray with a fervent heart. We'll pray for asking for the blessing of God and for the power of God and for the glory of God, that we might do a work for his glory. That's what we need. And how's your prayer life? Are you mighty in prayer? Is it really just, Lord, you know, there's something on my heart. Lord, you know, it's really bothering me. Let me encourage you to pray and pray so fervently. Pour out your heart to God until it stops bothering you. Amen. And when it stops bothering you, that's the time where you've handed it to God. Sure. You pray and pray and pray and pray and plead and cry to God until that thing just leaves your mind, until that thing leaves your heart, and God says, that's it. You're casting it on me. That's good. You're casting all of it. Okay, you got 20%, 30%. All right, we're here, 100%. The burden's gone. The weight's gone. And when it ever dares to enter into your mind again, get on your knees and pray and pray and pray and pray until your flesh can't pray anymore. And God will take it away. God will take it away. And you believe he'll answer it. Trust him. And if he doesn't, just say he will answer it, but his answer may be yes, no, or maybe, or wait. But if he answers it, just let him answer it the way he wants to answer it, okay? But pray believing that he's able to give a right answer. The answer that he would line up with his will. Let us pray believing. So our expectation needs to be in God. It comes from God. But look at the last point. I want to show you now tonight by the word of God what it says here in verses 6 to 8. And this is the point. It says why we can wait upon God. Why God? Why God? Why him out of everything else? Why can't I wait upon myself? Why can't I do it myself? Why do I have to wait and rest in God? In verses chapter 62 of Psalms, verses 6 to 8, clearly shows us that, of how God is worthy of that. Let's look at 6 to 8. He only, exclusive again, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is our rock, safety, strength, a shelter. The Lord our rock, in him we hide a shelter in the time of storm. God is that refuge, that shelter that we can hide under. We can find rest in and safety in God. That's why He's worthy of being trusted. Amen. Because He's a rock. Amen. He's a shelter for us. We need to just hide under his wings. We need to hide under that rock from which we are protected from the storms. All the storms will come, but we will find safety, we will find peace and shelter in our souls and rest under the rock. Amen. God is our rock. Amen. He's our salvation. He's our deliverer. That's what that means, our deliverer. He delivers us from temptation. We know the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, deliver us from temptation. God will deliver you from temptation when you come to Him, because He is our deliverer. What's tempting you right now? Are you tempted to not wait upon Him, but to do things in your own strength? Are you tempted to go your own way or to sin? Wait upon God. Deliver us, Lord, from temptation, from sin, and from the enemy. He is our salvation. He is our defense, our shield, our protector. Just like a city that has these walls that surround the city, a fortress, a mighty fortress is our God. Amen. A bulwark never failing. He is like that massive walls that when you stand up and you look up, you can't see. It's just this massive and mighty wall that defends us, that shelters us, that protects us from evil. He is our defense. God is our defense. He is our shield. He is my glory. My glory. He is my praise. He's my honor. I have no glory of my own. My glory is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my glory. You know, I have no praise of my own. We have to see that, brethren. We have to come to that point where we see we have nothing good in and of ourselves. Our glory, He is our glory, if you have Him. He is our glory. We have nothing to glory in. Let him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Let him glory in God. He is everything. He is our all in all. Amen. He is our refuge. Our refuge, a place where I can hide and find that comfort and rest. Amen. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 31, it says this, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Why? Because Christ is made unto us wisdom. We have no wisdom of our own. He is our wisdom. We have no righteousness of our own. He is our righteousness. We have no sanctification or separation from sin or holiness of ourselves. He is our holiness. We have no redemption in and of ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot buy ourselves back out of the slave market of sin. We have no ability to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Your works will not save you. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man shall boast. You cannot save yourself. You cannot. He's our redemption. He saves you. Amen. What a beautiful thing that is. So then, according as it is written, let him that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Why? Because I'm nothing. You're nothing without Him. And if you're in Christ Jesus tonight, if you have faith in Christ, you've repented of your sins and believe the gospel, you are in Christ Jesus. And He is everything to you. Everything. Everything. You have nothing in and of yourself. That's how we rest in Him. When we truly come to understand that I am weak, but Thou art strong. I am nothing, Lord. I'm dust, but you are everything. And you saved me, and you loved me, and you gave yourself for me. Oh, Lord, let me live for you. What can I do? Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, what can I do? You're everything to me. Come to that place where God becomes everything to you, because you realize that we are nothing in and of ourselves, but that He is our all in all. And we trust Him completely as our rock and our shield and our defense and our salvation and as our redeemer. Look at verse number 8. We'll finish with this. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is our refuge for us. Amen. Listen, we need to trust God. We need to trust Him, not today, not tomorrow. We need to trust Him at all times. All times. There is never a moment where the Christian should be found not trusting God. That's what that means. At all times. Every moment of every day, every situation I face, every trial I'm faced with, I need to trust God. I need to rest in Him. I need to give it to Him. I need to wait upon Him. Trust in God at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. We need that. We need that time with God where we are honest with Him.
Amen.
Where we're just real.
Amen.
Real with God. Let's get real with God where we pour out our heart before Him and say, Lord, I cry before You, Lord, to just come before You. Lord, this problem is just weighing me down. Don't come to God with a wall between you. You know, we do that in our language of prayer sometimes, you know, and we should pray with reverence, and don't get me wrong there, but I'm saying sometimes we do that is God is so afar off and that we come to Him with a mask on. No, He sees right through that. Just be real with Him.
Amen.
Pour out your heart before Him.
Sure.
Whatever's on your heart, pour it out. Get a jug of water like you do it, and you pour it out till there's nothing left in it. You're pouring out your heart. Every drop is coming out onto that ground. You're not catching it. You're not holding it back. It's all just pouring out. Pouring out. And pour out your heart like that to the Lord. Open up your heart and say, Lord, this is what it is. This is holding me back. This is hurting me, Lord. This is what's happening, Lord. I need You. Pour it out before Him. Be real with God. Be real with God. Look at the two passages and we're done. Let's go to Psalm 91. It's in the Psalms, not too far away. Psalm 91, verse 1. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 36. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 36. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know how you get to the secret place of the Most High? Through prayer.
Amen.
Yeah. And you come boldly before the throne of grace. That song we sang this morning, bold I approach the eternal throne. We come on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come and we get into that place of prayer and we commune with God as friend with friend. And we seek Him. We pour out our hearts before Him and He covers us with His wing. Oh, just what a beautiful thing. He protects us. He shelters us. He keeps us warm, close by His side as a loving Father.
Amen.
And this is what we do. We come into the secret place of the Most High and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me encourage you to do that and wait upon Him. In that place, wait upon Him to see Him work. Hebrews chapter 10, 35 to 36. This passage of Scripture, I was preparing my message and my dad sent me a text message. And it was perfect timing because I was preparing this message and this is the verse. He sent me this verse and these verses alone. And when I read them, I thought, wow, Lord, Your divine providence is perfect.
Sure.
Perfect.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, I really had to wait on God for this sermon. Oh, really had to wait. Came late, put it that way. But the Lord, praise God for it. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 35, 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, your expectation, your hope. Cast it not away. Believe in God, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Look, we have need of patience because God wants to reward you. God wants to bless you. God wants to answer your prayer, but we have need of patience. We need our soul. We need to tell our soul it's time to wait upon God. It's time to wait upon God. And I want to leave you with that, those thoughts tonight. And I want to encourage you just to give your heart to the Lord. If you're not saved tonight, give him your heart fully. Trust Him fully for salvation. If you know Him as Savior, pour out your heart before Him. And wait upon Him and let Him do a mighty work in your life for His glory alone. Thank you, Pastor.